We're working in Joshua chapter 14. If you want to grab your Bible and head over there, that's the reading for this week in Joshua chapter 14, and a break from the lists.
For just a little bit.
There are going to be some lists in Joshua, but 14, though we still have a little bit early in the chapter that has to do with land and settling and places.
Yeah,
and
kind of an overview statement.
And people. We also return to the tendency of this book to focus on narratives and individuals.
Yeah.
And so 14 is the Caleb chapter. Caleb reappears in the story from being one of the two faithful spies originally.
Yep.
And now he reappears at the back end of the conquest story. I just love this story.
Oh, it's a great story.
He's such a cool character. Evidently, Moses has promised a portion of land to him.
Sure.
And there's some question about whether or not that ought to be the right place to go, I guess, because he seems to be arguing for it here. You need to give me what was promised.
Yeah. Well, and again, part of it is, remember, he's one of the original spies. And so, you know, he's one of he and Joshua only survivors of that first Exodus generation. He was one of the original spies. And so it may almost be, the idea can almost be, that again, he literally, because he spied, he walked some of this land once when he went in to spy it generations ago. And, and so he really wanted that area that, ironically, remember the giants were an issue when the people were discouraged back in the book of Numbers. And, one of the reasons they said, we can't take the land. And so Caleb has always wanted to go back and get those giants. He's always wanted to have that land for his own.
Yep.
And, as much apparently as an act of faith, because, some of the things that he says, so give me the hill country, but there's always that, that aspect of faith, verse 12, it may be that the Lord will be with me and I will drive them out just as the Lord has said. And that's not a weak faith. The idea is that's his way of saying if the Lord wills.
Yes.
It's not a weak faith. But that's the whole point is even then it's like, I understand that. I can't force God to do what God doesn't want to do. But for me, I hope God lets me go get these giants. We are absolutely going to get them out of the land.
His age is what jumps out at you here. This is kind of like, the Josiah story.
Yeah.
He was so young in this case. The concern seems to be that he's so old.
Yeah.
And I don't know where we are in average lifespans at this point.
This is getting old. This is getting old.
But evidently, it seems like he's arguing, maybe with some hyperbole, that he is still able to take on a difficult task.
Right. And, and it was, certainly, there were, part of the point, different parts, when we're still in the relatively positive parts of the story of God and his people, Moses, dies at 120, and he dies because it was God's appointed time for him to die, because Deuteronomy 34 makes very clear, his eye is not dimmed, his vigor is not abated. It's not because he was decrepit and falling apart and just, it was time. It was just God's will. And so, some of these guys who walk closely with the Lord, and that's, again, one of the things that Caleb is making very, very clear, verse 8, I have wholly followed the Lord my God. These guys, whether it's miraculous, whether it's just good genes, but the bottom line is they don't see themselves as aging out of God's service. They see themselves as if they're alive, they're going to use everything they've got to accomplish God's purposes.
Boy, there's a great lesson there.
It sure is. That's why I said it.
about that's one of the reasons I love this story is because it's a reminder that the work of God goes on even as we age.
Yeah.
And as we are able, to be part of that. I remember one of the churches I worked with, we had this guy in his 90s who is essentially, housebound. He I don't even think at that time he got out a whole lot for services, just occasionally. But he had a caregiver who was with him there every single day and so stuck with him for hours and hours. And here's this guy in his 90s that literally is not even getting out of his house, but he every day uses the opportunity to teach this guy the gospel.
Absolutely.
And the guy wound up obeying the gospel. So there may be some limitations that life's realities had imposed on him. And so there were other things, he could not take off for a mission trip to Zimbabwe.
Right.
But he could teach this guy that came to his house every day.
Sure.
To take care of him. And so that kind of reminds me of the Caleb story that, even in my old age, there's still work for me to do.
Age is not an excuse.
Age
is not an excuse.
And I know that in our culture, we think as we age, we come into a seasons of life, retirement, where we're supposed to shed some of the responsibilities and kind of enjoy some downtime and things like that. And I almost wonder if that doesn't get into our hearts in a kingdom sense. I've heard people say things like, I did my turn teaching Bible classes when I was younger, and I'm going to turn that over to the older people, and our younger people rather let the younger people take over. And I think there does come a point where we got to retire from what we do because of physical limitations, but I still want to do what I can do.
Yeah.
And not see it as a season in life where I get to sit back and I don't need to do my thing for the Lord anymore.
Yeah, there's a difference in me prematurely saying I'm done or I've done enough and getting to a point where folks are telling me, it's time.
Yeah, it's almost as though Caleb is worried people will think he's not up to it.
Isn't that interesting?
He's arguing, I'm as strong as I was, when I was younger.
I can do this and I want to do this. Yeah, let me at him.
And I think too that that with age, not only do you have the onset of limitations, but in a lot of people, you also have the collection of wisdom.
Well, that's why the Bible experiences
and things like that.
Even if you don't have the energy you used to as you age, you're still the whole Bible motif of the older teaching the younger. And that works two ways. And, the older need to stay engaged and be willing to teach. The younger need to be humble and willing to learn.
Yeah. I've encountered this with elderships, too, with guys who just said, I'm not as good at remembering names, right? Or, I don't have the energy that I used to have, to go out and see people and things like that. And so maybe I shouldn't be an elder. And what I have seen as a consequence of that is sometimes guys with great wisdom still to offer.
Yeah.
Wound up being taken out of the equation.
Right.
In a way that wasn't good for the body of Christ.
Right.
Even though there were limitations to what they could do before, they were still so needed for that wisdom that they had stored through all those years.
No, that's exactly right. Just because you can't do everything doesn't mean you can't, do something still. And again, it's not an all or nothing. Sometimes, we just need to maybe slow down or back off a little bit rather than just completely throw in the towel.
Yeah, I think that's right. You alluded to this phrase in, I'm not sure which verse you picked. It's in verse 8.
Verse 8, holy follow the Lord, my God.
Is that what yours says, holy?
Yeah, completely, something like that.
Yeah, mine says, I followed the Lord, my God, fully. Mm-hmm. The interesting thing is that he didn't just say that one time.
Yeah.
But in this brief story, you go down to verse 9, the next verse. Because you have followed the Lord my God fully.
Uh-huh.
And then again in verse 14, because he followed the Lord God of Israel fully.
Mm-hmm.
I'm curious about the word fully and what its implications are in this context.
Well, I think the idea is that you can see it in the zeal. I'm 85 and let me add them. I had to wait 45 years, because you do the math. He was 40 when he was sitting in the spy, and they've been kind of working their way, conquering the land here for a few years. So I've been waiting 45 years to get my crack at these guys, and so let me go. Take me off the leash. Let me at him. And so I think the idea is just, it's blessed are the pure in heart. Let's use a New Testament language. The idea of purity. There's nothing else there. When something's pure, there's no admixture, no distraction, no other substance. And Caleb is just simply all in on God. This, why is he still so alive and vigorous and engaged and plugged in? Because he lives for God. And man, is this, and it's not selfish even. It's literally, I'm doing this because I think the Lord is with me, and these are God's enemies, and we need to get them out. And to that end, you see that. This is maybe also a little bit of the hint. It's not just purely selfish zeal. I just finally want my piece of land, my 40 acres or whatever. Verse 15, his spot in particular, not only does he expunge the name Kirith Arba, which means city of Arba, the name of one of the Anakim that he drove out or got rid of or eliminated, but it's the city of Hebron. Well, that's a very significant place to take hold of. That's the city of Abraham. That's where Abraham, that's the area of the Cave of Machpelah where Abraham and the other patriarchs are buried. That's the place where Abraham had such as it was in his own lifetime, his foothold in the land. And so literally here, the first place that's really, you know, as the lands divide up, is the old stomping grounds of Abraham. And so it's really symbolically significant. It's significant that Caleb gets that spot as like Abraham before him, the guy who just simply follows God wherever it takes, however long it takes, whatever. He's just simply all in on God. And that's, you know, that's why he has faith. That's why he's undistractable. That's why he'll wait 45 years to get another chance to get back to what he should have had originally, because he was faithful. He'll just have to wait almost half a century to get his chance again.
Yeah, I think his life.
It's a great story.
I see at the end of his life, this drive to do what God wants him to do. And I see fully applying to, you know, like his whole life from one angle, right? Mm-hmm. You know, I'm going to serve him all the way to the end, serve God fully in that sense. But you just go back through his life and you think about the earlier incident where he's a faithful spy.
Right.
And he tells the people, we can go up with God's help and we can take the land. Complete trust in God. We don't have to worry about the size of the enemy with God on our side. His faith was full and complete in that moment as well. I just think it's characteristic of his whole life. And as we think about our theme for this year, Jehovah is King, I think what we're learning here is here's a guy for whom that was absolutely true. And this was life looked like. And it looked that way all the way through. At every opportunity we encounter him, he's the guy who's willing to step up and do what it is the Lord wants him to do.
Right.
Because his trust is in the Lord. And interestingly, he's going to kind of stand in contrast to the rest of the nation that ultimately is not going to finish the driving out process. He does his piece in his time, right?
Right.
But not everybody's going to do that, and there are going to be dreadful consequences as a result. So he kind of stands as this exception to the rule.
Right.
He was faithful in his time to finish the work that others were not going to do. Maybe there's a great story there about, you know, sometimes we can't let ourselves be distracted and pulled away by people who aren't serving the Lord fully, right?
Right.
I can do my thing in my corner and please the Lord. And it's exactly what Caleb does here.
Well, and what's funny is, and we're not quite there yet. We'll see this a little bit here. Again, there'll be another little narrative pop up in some of the land details that are coming in the next few chapters. So we'll see. But we'll see. We'll meet his future son-in-law, Othniel, who will hear more of his story in the book of Judges, to be sure. But the other thing to that point, David, is Caleb becomes the kind of guy who attracts similar-minded men. Because Othniel seems to be a younger version of this kind of zeal that Caleb has, for just fully following the Lord, and in this case, dealing with God's enemies, which is what, you know, their season, their lifetime, that was their, you know, kind of mission in that time of history.
Let me say a quick word to parents about Caleb and what you can do with the story with your kids. I think that sometimes we make a mistake in idolizing athletes and you know, other heroes, maybe an athlete that is at the top of a sport your kid is playing or something like that, and idolize that person, look up to that person. This is the kind of guy that we want to be a hero to our kids, right? And so it's a great opportunity to take this guy, hold him up. We don't know a lot about his life. We have just like a couple little snippets along the way.
That's exactly right.
But he is a remarkable character, and the kind of character that we want to hold up to our kids and say, here's an example for you. Here needs to be one of your heroes that you imitate and that you work to be like. So ponder that. Ponder that, putting that in front of your kids this week as you work through Joshua 14.